Hello and welcome to Viewpoints. My name is Boris Chassai and I'll be with you for the next half hour. On today's show, in Nelson, BC, locals gather for truth and reconciliation.
Regardless of who's who, we're all here together in this unity, and that's what this time's about.
The Liverpool International Theatre Festival returns with live performances. Organizers say it's the only festival of its kind in Eastern Canada.
It can transcend the language barriers. We'll often look for plays that are less verbal or, you know, not language heavy, so to speak, so that they can make that crossover so that folks can understand what's happening.
And students and their instructors are enthusiastic about the early stages of the Courtis Island Academy pilot program, No Bricks, No Walls.
The boundaries expanded. Using Courtis as the classroom, I think, is the difference. But really, the main difference is just unlocking our mind to accept that possibility instead of just the possibilities of the walls of the school and the walls of the classroom.
The Surrey Art Gallery's newest exhibit showcases video poetry.
It's a genre of poetry displayed on a screen, distinguished by its time-based poetic juxtaposition of images with text and sound.
Welcome to Viewpoints.
Follow us on Twitter at CanadaLJI. Listen to all our news online at canada-info.ca.
Our first stop will be at Lakeside Park in Nelson, British Columbia, which lit up in orange on September 30th as dozens of locals ventured out to show their support and to reflect on the National Day for Truth and Reconciliation. The day honors the Indigenous survivors of the residential school system and children who never returned home. Residential schools operated in Canada for over 150 years, with the last one closing in the mid-1990s. The Friday initiative put forward by the Kootenay Métis Society was attended by many. One of the locals who came out was Mike Zeben, who is also running for mayor of Nelson in the election coming up in 2 weeks. Zeben said it was important for him to come out to show support for the many children who never returned home after being taken from their families, a pain he knows himself after losing 3 sons due to health issues. You can imagine, he says, losing your loved one, your kid goes to school in the morning and does not return. In Nelson, BC, here's John Roon.
The sound of drums and ancient songs filled Lakeside Park in Nelson on Friday. The air smelled of sacred herbs burning in one of the corners of the shelter, and the orange shirts lit up the seating areas as dozens of people came out to pay their respects, listen to the speakers and performances, and reflect on the countless children who went missing or were harmed in the Canadian residential school system. For one of the visitors, mayoral candidate Mike Zeben, being there was also a personal affair.
I was born here in Nelson, but my grandma, she was, from Kiev, Ukraine, and then lived in the Kootenays, and there, a lot of her friends were natives, and myself. They see the cap here.
Native pride, it says on your cap there.
And I support what they went through, the children that were taken away from the parents and never came back. And it reminds me of what happened to the Dukhobor children. They were in New Denver, pretty close. Maybe there was no deaths involved, but that was a sad story too. And all these kind of things that happened in the world upsets me, that I think we should have acted better and not do these things. And our government should have responded to the natives long time ago to solve this problem. It's a sad story to uncover all these graves. And, you know, I'm just putting myself into their shoes. We lost 3 sons with the wife, but that's what muscular dystrophy took the 2 sons away. at early age, so I know what they're going through, went through their ancestors, you know. This is a different generation, but you could imagine by losing your loved one. For example, your kid goes in the morning to school and never returns. I miss him in 10 minutes if you don't see your child, and this is very sad. And this day, it's, you know, brings that we all gathering together and stand up for these kind of things, that it should never happen again.
Others heeded the call to take the stage and send out their own message in Lakeside Park. We spoke to one of them.
Patrick David Bonin.
Right.
My message was, is like, I guess in a sense we've had a lot of pendulum swing where, and it's time that we come into the center, and I just wanted to, a message of like, we don't know a lot of people's genealogy because of histories being either deleted out of our family or not, us, our old families not able to admit that they're certain races. And the message was just that regardless of who's who, we're all here together in this unity, and that's what this time's about. So
Surrey Art Gallery's exhibit on video poetry is now open to the public. Guest curated by Surrey-based artist Tom Connives, Poets with a Camera, Video Poetry 1980-2020 depicts video, poetry, and text to create a genre of art all of its own. Poets with a Video Camera will feature over 25 works from various world-renowned video poets. The exhibit will run until December 11th, with a media art symposium happening on November 5th. The term video poetry was officially coined in the late 1970s in Montreal, according to Connives, where he spent time with a group known as the Vehicle Poets. Connives spoke with our journalist Stephen Munga, working out of Abbotsford, British Columbia, on the birth of video poetry, his manifesto, and the Vehicle Poets.
Well, video poetry is, there is an official definition that I had put together. It goes something like this. Video poetry is a genre of poetry displayed on a screen, distinguished by its time-based poetic juxtaposition of images with text and sound. In the measured blending of these three elements, it produces in the viewer the realization of a poetic experience. There is a difference between, grabbing at any old poem and recording yourself reading into the camera the poem. You know, that is not the art form of video poetry. I wrote the manifesto in response to a few years of research that I had done by visiting archives all over the world, literally. And I made it sound very official, like you just heard, you know, of the definition, a kind of a scientific definition. And I just sat back and waited for the response. And I could not believe how it was immediately picked up and referred to, and it became a reference point for so many people and so many groups of people who were interested in this particular form. And I was surprised. I really thought that I would get some blowback, you know, some arguments about, well, who are you to say what that is? But instead, I was invited to festivals and conferences to speak about video poetry. And so I really appreciated that kind of response. I was in a group of seven, as you say. We were called the Vehicle Poets, and this was in the late 70s. The art gallery, Vehicle Art, in Montreal was a multidisciplinary artist-run center. So I was a member of this group of seven poets who became known as the Vehicle Poets. And we did performances, video performances, poetry performances together. And we became really interested in spreading poetry in all its forms to the public. You know, I'm sure that you, among your listeners, the students, there are many poets among them. They may be feeling like, what can I do as an individual? By all means, you know, find some other people who are also interested in what you're, you know, what you want to do as a poet, and you'll see that there's power in numbers.
The exhibition will feature over 25 works from various artists worldwide. My name is Stephen Munga. For these and more stories from local journalists across Canada, visit canada-info.ca.
Liverpool International Theatre Festival is returning to Nova Scotia's Astor Theatre. Organizers say it's the only festival of its kind in Eastern Canada. Theatre groups from nine countries had been invited for the original festival in 2020, which was cancelled because of COVID-19. But the festival is back this year with a vengeance. Nine acts from around the globe, Morocco, Algeria, Belgium, Egypt, Italy, Wales, Georgia, Mexico, the USA and Canada, of course, will walk the boards in what's considered one of the top 10 amateur theater festivals in the world. More with Ed Alverson in Nova Scotia.
The play is the thing once again in Liverpool. After 4 years, the Liverpool International Theater Festival is returning to the Astor Theater. Chairperson of LITF, Jean Robinson-Dexter, says, given the international nature of the performers, one of the things the selection committee looks for are plays that can be understood whether acted in English or not.
It can transcend the language barriers. We'll often look for plays that are less verbal or, you know, not language heavy, so to speak, so that they can make that crossover so that folks can understand what's happening.
The festival has been held every 2 years since it began in 1992. The latest edition of LITF was scheduled for 2020, but like so many other events, was canceled due to COVID. This year, the festival will start Thursday, October 13th, with a parade of flags down Main Street, leading to the opening ceremonies in the Astor Theatre. LITF has partnered with the South Queens Chamber of Commerce to round out opening night with a block party featuring live music and events beginning at 8 p.m. The weekend will be jammed with performances, followed by social evenings at the Liverpool Curling Club. The 2022 edition of the Liverpool International Theatre Festival will also see the return of the ever-popular Coffee Critique, which is open to all performers and all access pass holders. Robinson-Dexter says the critique started as an opportunity for performers to discuss their work amongst themselves, but it has become one of the most unique and popular components of LITF.
Our audience very quickly wanted to be involved in that. They wanted to hear it and they wanted to ask questions, and it's usually a jam-packed room and people are just so engaged in learning about how theater happens in other countries.
Sales of the all-access passes ends Wednesday, October 5th, but Robinson-Dexter says there are still multi-performance packages and individual passes available through the Astor Theatre box office. The Liverpool International Theatre Festival runs from October 13th through the 17th. More information can be found on the festival website. I'm Ed Halverson.
Hi, I'm Sarah Gouda in Halifax, Nova Scotia. You are tuned to Viewpoints. Listen to all our stories online at canada-info.ca and follow us on Twitter at CanadaLJR.
pilot program for senior high school students launched this semester on Cortes Island, BC, seems to be off to a successful start for both students and their instructors, who say that they are very happy with the first semester so far. The school year is based on a semester system consisting of four blocks, each lasting 4 to 5 weeks: outdoor and adventure and leadership, marine ecology, creative tools for truth and telling, and filmmaking. Each course counts for high school credits. Some instructors say that having a 4 to 5 week in-depth course means more meaningful relationships are formed with the students. Stretching the boundaries of traditional bricks and mortar education is one of the biggest takeaways from this new program, and each student seems to be thrilled to come to school each day. Instructors say, wow, if I could only go back in time. The Cortes Island Academy is the brainchild of parents on the island. Prior to the school year, teenagers in grades 10, 11, and 12 had either to be homeschooled or leave the island to complete their high school education. In total, 20 students are enrolled in the program. Many are from Cortes Island, with others coming from elsewhere in School District 72 and an international student from Germany. More with Craig Osoba on Cortes Island, British Columbia.
Launched in September, the Cortes Island Academy's program for high school students means that those in grades 10, 11, and 12 don't have to leave the island to finish high school or be homeschooled. The pilot project is sanctioned by BC School District 72, and all courses count for credits. There are four modules in the semester-based curriculum: outdoor adventure and leadership, marine ecology, creative tools for truth-telling, and filmmaking, each lasting 4 to 5 weeks. District 72 teacher Jeff Lontoya says it's all going very well, and describes what drew him to the initiative.
What really intrigued me was my passion for just creating new things in education. And some people call it innovative, but it's really not, in my eyes, not innovative. It's just best practices for teaching. And so one thing that I found in a brick and mortar school, not to put down the education system, but there are a lot of boundaries that we have to do with this initiative. When the superintendent came up to me and said, let's see what you can do on Cortes, because here's the situation. We wanted to offer a secondary school type programming on Cortes. And really, my past probably 20, 25 years of teaching has been dealing with just creating different opportunities for kids. So I took that view of an experience of education, and then I thought, this is a perfect place. Start from scratch and build it up. And so it just became a vision and then a dream. And then just when I met Manda and Sadhu, and along with the support from the superintendent, here we are.
Now, you talked about bricks and mortar schools. Yeah. What do you think we are in a rural environment here, but what do you think the Cortes Island Academies, both the curriculum and the setting, has that other more traditional schools could learn from?
First of all, it's the mindset that education is all around us, not just the four walls of a classroom. And so with our mindset, because it is really an educator's mindset, and educator, I just don't mean myself, it's the adults and the organizers and the administrators, are our mindset. Set is that the boundaries expanded from coast to coast to coast in this island and everything in between, and even past the coast, of course, learning from the water and in the water. So using Cortes as the classroom, I think, is the difference. But really the main difference is just unlocking our mind to accept that possibility instead of just the possibilities of the walls of the school and the walls of the classroom.
Now we're just into the school year, a few weeks in, but what are you seeing in the students? What's your observation about their experience and what they may be gaining from it?
This is the third week. We're just finishing the third week, and already anecdotally and behaviorally, we've seen some transformative pieces in their being just by being in our class for the past 3 weeks. I've had feedback from parents. I've had feedback from students and they can't wait to get to school. And for kids, some kids find it hard to go to school. Some students have found it hard to feel success in school. And for students to tell in the past 3 weeks, and especially in the past week and a half, that this is the most fulfilled they've ever had in school. And not only do they tell me, but they told their parents, wow, that is It's very satisfying so far, and I'm excited for what's going to go on tomorrow and the next week and the modules after that, because it's just right now we're creating community and we're really investing the time to do that and for us to be one big. And so we're just going to reinforce and build. And you know what? When people, not even just students, when people feel like they belong, it just opens their eyes and heart to just accepting the learning that's around them.
Jeff, I get this feeling just from speaking to you and some of the instructors and administrators that this is an attitude about community, and not only that, but playing to people's strengths rather than pointing out their weaknesses or their challenges.
Yeah, certainly. We've told the kids from day one, and really that was the philosophy of part of our givens in this program when we were creating it, is that we're going to accept students where they are and then help build them up from there and support them from there. And so wherever they are in their educational journey, but not just educational journey, and this is the big thing, I think that we're fortunate enough to have a smaller cohort and a more inclusive and supportive cohort, is that it's just not their education journey, but it's their life journey that we're supporting. Because when you support that in a community, then of course the education is going to come. They're more accepting in that, and that's our vision. And hopefully that's what we're carrying out.
Kai and Tosh Harvey, a brother and sister team who work for Cortez Kayaks, are key instructors in the first module, Outdoor Adventure and Leadership.
We have a really place-based curriculum. We're basing our learning about leadership and PE in the ecosystems of Cortez. So we're spending a lot of time outside, and our learning is culminating in two student-led backcountry trips, which are super fun, slightly chaotic in the planning process. However, they're always worth it once we get out there. So our next trip is next week, and so we're very excited about it.
Tosh, I'm just curious, I'm assuming you haven't done anything like this before where you're teaching younger people necessarily. How does this differ, especially with a lengthy program, you said 5 weeks, Kai, say from when you take people out on multi-day trips?
Yeah, Tosh has actually done a fair amount of stuff.
Yeah, I've done a fair bit of stuff with youth, a lot of them younger than teens, but it's been very nice having this longer format. It's been great getting to know the kids on a much more personal level and be able to understand them better and develop, figure out how to work with them in the best way possible. So it's been really nice getting to have that kind of more in-depth, yeah, education process.
I'll ask too, both of you, what has there been any surprises, or what are the biggest challenges been and the most satisfying things?
Yeah, one of the most challenging thing is most of the youth we haven't maybe fit into traditional kind of education. So the biggest learning curve for both me and Kai has just been getting to know the kids and getting to know what works for them and what doesn't work, and learning to adapt our programming to everyone's learning styles, because we have a lot of youth who maybe haven't fit into traditional school.
Yeah, because traditional school is extremely exclusive in terms of who really thrives within that system. So we're trying to create a program where anyone can thrive and anyone can be learning and really stretching their boundaries and in that learning zone, but then also feeling comfortable and safe in our program. And so that's really our goal.
So what would you say has been the most satisfying thing so far that you're halfway into the semester?
I think the most satisfying things for me is getting messages from the students' parents that they're having the best time of their lives, that they're having the best educational experience that they've ever had in the 11 years that they've been in the traditional education system. And also hearing students say funny things to me. This is the first time I have not dreaded going to school in my life. And that's always a positive thing to hear. So I'm really stoked about it. And yeah, everyone's having a really good time, and Tosh and I are having a lot of fun as well. We definitely look forward to coming to class every day. So that's really nice.
Anything you want to add to that, Tosh?
Yeah, no, I feel like that encapsulates it pretty good. It's just been amazing to get to see the kids really coming out of their shell and thriving in a school environment and having a positive education experience. And it's been really nice to be able to recreate some of the really good parts of my education for these kids.
Final question. Would you do it again?
We would do it again.
Definitely.
Clear answer. Very quick. Cortez Island Academy students, Saren and Zella, who hail from Cortez Island, are pleased with the program so far.
Well, we were both homeschooled before this, so that's new.
I really like it. It's very hands-on. There's lots of walking and hiking, and it's amazing. Lots of outdoorsy stuff.
Very active.
Okay.
Which is nice.
So you're both homeschooled before. What do you look forward to? You said it's active. How do you think it's different from what you've experienced before?
Well, it's just kind of outside of the whole sitting there and listening all the time. It's very hands-on, so you get to do a lot of the projects and be outside while doing it and not have to be sitting in a classroom all the time, which is amazing.
I agree, yeah.
Okay, and one other thing, too. Is there any part of this program, because I know there are four modules, is there anything that you look forward to the most out of those four, or is it just like day by day? How are you kind of looking at your school season, I guess?
I'm kind of looking forward to all of it. All of it's going to be something a little bit new and something exciting. So I'm just kind of taking it day by day.
I was especially excited for this one with the kayaking and the overnight camping trips and stuff. It's been a lot of fun, but I'm excited for all of it.
Yeah. Okay, you guys. Is there anything challenging that you're finding about it that, well, you've kind of talked about what's satisfying you. Is there anything challenging in any way?
No. No, I don't think so. Just making new friends can always be a little challenging, but it's nice to get the opportunity, especially on a small island. So
yeah.
There are 20 students enrolled in the program, many from Cortez Island, as well as others from elsewhere in School District 72 and an international student from Germany.
That's it for us at Viewpoints. Our collaborators this week, John Roon, Ed Halverson, Stefan Munga, and Craig Osoba. Our national coordinator, Maureen McEwen. Viewpoints is produced by the Community Radio Fund of Canada in Ottawa. I'm your host and producer, Boris Chassaigne. Nice to have you with us. Take care. See you next week.